here, because we got this big sting operation going on.
The seizure of your property happened before or after this other incident?
It was before. And I reported it to that officer, and I reported it.
Officer Richardson or to another officer?
Oh, yeah, and a couple others that have been involved in down OSHA. It's just their job to patrol it, but the point is, where's the report at? Where's, well, my stuff has been gone.
The most recent time you were injured was 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And would you say that, but based upon your conversations with this guy, was this an idle threat?
No.
Or do you think you actually think he's out there beating people up?
He's got a dedicated cause for that, and he makes it a point and brags on the fact that, yeah, you know, he's...
Could you identify this person if you saw him again?
I probably could, but...
If you see him with me, tell me who he is. I'd like to know.
I sure
is. Maybe I'll interview him for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I'd sure like to sit him down and have a nice cup of coffee and get it right with his head, because I don't think he understands that people are people. It doesn't matter if you have to live on the street.
It may take more than a cup of coffee, but I commend your willingness to talk to him.
Exactly. I don't want any problems. I got grandkids, man. Bob, I got grandkids. And I get along good with those, and a lot of youngsters around, they know me. They've known me for years out here. The point is, they can deal with their own in one way. But when you're walking down the street, no matter what time and late at night, you've got to figure it out your own way.
Now let me ask you, have there been any further instances of troll busting? I heard of homeless people being beaten. I heard about these three folks hit on the loading dock. I thought, where was that loading dock, you remember?
I'm not exactly sure. It's somewhere, yeah, it's one of the factories back there.
And has anything happened since then to anyone else that you know of? I think I heard that some guy had been hit on a bicycle path, or maybe we were talking about Robert, I don't know, the guy you mentioned that was hit on the bridge. But.
No, there was a couple other, there was a man, and another veteran friend of mine named David,
mm-hmm.
He says that's an isolated incident where he got caught by two or three young fellas, camping fellas, so these guys were campers.
They were not, no.
I don't think it was related with these youngsters.
I see. And where did that happen, you know?
This was back in the campsite up in the woods. I don't know exactly where up there.
This was how long ago?
Probably past M line or someplace. This was just another, this has all been the last 3 or 4 weeks.
So what about, but we're talking about the troll busters from out of the houses, we think it's one group of people or more than one group? What is your feeling?
Well, it's probably a group of him and his buddies, or buddies and him. Some of them are college students, I know that. And one report is that he's a son of a police officer. Now, I don't know how related that is, but I've had another friend, a young friend tell me, that because he's a cop's kid, he gets away with anything he wants to do.
Well, who told you this? I mean,
a good friend of his. A good friend that I know fairly well, and the kid is, you know, he's going to school.
Is this the kid who hit you with the skateboard you're talking, or?
We're talking about, he's supposed to be, yeah, the son of a...
The one you talked to about at Safeway?
He's supposed to be a son of a cop. I don't know. I can call him the son of something else.
Yeah. Well, if someone acts that way, one would understand why you would do that. So again, we have the three that hit on the loading dock. We have Larry Cessna, who was attacked and went hospitalized. Another fellow.
His brother named David, but that's maybe
another incident that was hit by homeless people.
Robert was right on San Lorenzo Ridge.
Hit in front of Palace Arts Stationery also. Someone was assaulted there as well.
I heard about that one.
Yeah, I heard about that. And then I heard that there was an older man assaulted on a bicycle path after the three were hit.
That was probably David, because yeah.
So that was then perhaps not the troll busting incident of the same sort. And then I'd also heard of I talked to a guy. Say that again.
Sometimes they just go, you know, I mean, you're walking on the sidewalk. Doesn't matter what sidewalk, on the bridge, whatever. And you're in their way,
mm-hmm.
Or it's just because they feel like it. And they take the little skateboards and they go, hey man, take this, boom, and start. It's instigating and starting. You're standing there trying to defend yourself.
If you
don't
see these people sitting in one place and they seem kind of, you know, stationary for a while, get to a phone and call me. I'd like to come down and meet these folks.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, we're talking about kids who run all over the streets. Now, I don't know. One report was they had a yellow truck, a yellow pickup truck at that night incident, mm-hmm. when they were trolling, troll searching, I guess is what their phrase is. I've talked to some of these kids are proud of. I think it's a big joke.
This is some kid other than the one you talked to at
State
Farm?
That's right, and they're coming up on spring break and summertime. I don't know who all these
kids. High school or college kids, maybe?
Both.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And how many, if you were to ask me the number of people who've actually spoken to about this, who've made these comments, how many separate instances of conversation have you had about this with different people who have said they were proud of troll busting or they're sympathetic to it?
Well, personally, I've only had two or three that ever harassed me personally,
right.
All right?
People have talked about it, though.
I've had kids that come off the wall about comments, and, you know, like, if I find you, I'm going to beat you into this, and I'm going to tell you,
In the last few, in the last month or so, how many times have you been told?
Hasn't been, because to tell you the truth, I don't hang out up and down the sidewalks as like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I go point A to point B, or I take a bus if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, you know, calling Safeways, that's a little strange, because everybody's got to go to Safeways to shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I'm making is...
In the last month, how many times has the comments been made to you?
Well, this is the only one to last, for me personally, the last...
Just two days ago?
Yeah.
So
like I say, I'm not up and down there like all the time, and I get around a little better than some of these, you know, these folks I talk to you about. They're crippled or they're slow, and you know what? If they have even some of them, have crutches and I don't know about wheelchairs, but I know Robert had to have crutches that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's real slow because he's an epileptic, and that was just, he was gangbanged
mm-hmm.
by four or five of them.
And this was about 2 weeks ago, and this was on the West End of Windsor Bridge.
As far as I know.
And you think he filed a police report?
I know a cop was involved, I think he did, and they says, well, you know, all we can do is do something when we see it.
Right. Anything you want to add for our free radio audience?
I just like support. I think everybody out there is understanding what's going on. I think we're all tired of seeing everybody that is people that have to be on the streets rather than working
mm-hmm.
or rather than, get a clean set of clothes. I know a lot of people who don't want to do this by choice. They don't want to be homeless by choice. They don't want to be drugged out by choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation that has to be improved. And then we've got county resources that can do that. When women and children are involved, as much as they are, and as much as I see week after week at the Armory,
mm-hmm.
I have to question why doesn't the city council, somebody, wake up and help them smell the roses.
Well, okay? We talked to council member Tim Fitzmaurice this morning, and he assured us that things were proceeding in a positive way, and the issues were being discussed, and there would be some positive changes.
Well, I've been hearing that for the last three, 4 years myself. Now, I just want to go to work, get my program, the VA taken care of personally. I've got signed up on the bed situation. I'm just looking at how many I see that we don't need to be beat up. We don't need harassed by the police because we're camping, because we have to sleep. We have a right. I don't know if it's a right. No, it's human need to sleep.
I would say it's
a
right myself.
You know.
Nobody listens to me. What can I say? Thank you, Phil.
At least you're a good voice, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we're on the air on Free Radio Santa Cruz with, that man on the street, Steve Argue. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Steve, you're not just a man on the street, but you're a man in the studio occasionally. You have a show on, what is it, Thursday?
Thursdays, 1 to 3.
And apparently you come up with some hot news for us.
Right. There was some troll busting done last night.
Huh.
Apparently.
So some people who were found who had been involved in beating a homeless person?
Right. They fit the description of these people who, skinheads who've been beating up other homeless people as they slept and hitting people with 2x4s and so forth. They were actually wearing t-shirts that said Troll Busters, and they were in the process of breaking in to a homeless person's car when they were caught by some homeless people who were looking for these Troll Busters, and
that, were you in this group yourself?
No, I was not.
But you interviewed one of them?
I talked to a couple of them.
And where did all this happen?
By Zanata's.
Zanata's Grocery?
Yeah.
And by what time?
I don't know.
And so, was this a case of, did anybody positively identify these people? Were any of the four, how many people found the, how many homeless people were involved in finding these, there are two people that were, confronted?
Two people who were captured, apparently got hurt a little bit.
So the...
Or a lot of it.
Sounds like curbside justice or something?
Right. They were in the process of breaking into this homeless woman's car right at the time.
Was she in the car?
Apparently.
There was a woman in the car and these two individuals were trying to break into her vehicle?
Right. Now, I don't know that for sure, but they were breaking into this homeless woman's car.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. And, they were caught in the act, and apparently they fell down and got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're giving me a euphemism for got beaten up, perhaps?
Well, yeah, I don't know exactly.
Well, you weren't a witness to it, I assume.
I wasn't a witness, so.
But now, did the police or security guards get involved at all in this?
The first alarm apparently wrote a report. Had them in custody. Now, whether or not anything happens to them would be another question. According to the reports I got, these two individuals that they found, the two troll busters are kids of cops.
How do they know that?
I don't know. But there had been rumors around that they were kids of cops before, and apparently, I don't know, maybe they were around long enough with the first alarm guy or something, but that was the information I was given.
Do we know the names of these suspects?
No, I don't.
Hmm. And do we know if they're actually being charged with anything, or have they been released?
I don't know, but the first alarm was there, and first alarm was, it sounded like, charging them for breaking and entering into the car.
Did they file any charges against any of the homeless people for assault?
No.
Mm-hmm. And they actually had Trollbuster t-shirts on, eh?
Trollbusters said Trollbusters.
Huh. You know, I've seen those t-shirts. They were around in 1985 when homeless people were still getting beaten up, even two or three years after Code Blue's trials had ended and the police department was reorganized under Chief Bassett. Have you talked to many people on the street about this? Is there much reaction to this new set of developments?
Yeah, I've told people what I know about it, and a lot of people are really happy to have heard it, and, from what it sounded like, the way it was described, it didn't sound like these people would be able to, carry out any troll busting, at least for a while now. After what happened to him last night.
I see. You mean you think they were sufficiently injured that they're unlikely to go back to that kind of activity?
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
That's what I was told anyhow. And, this is a good warning to, to troll busters or would-be troll busters that, homeless people are not incapable of defending themselves if need be.
Yeah. Well, I understand you're also planning not just a defense, but an attack on an oppressive law later today.
Yep. We're going to be protesting in front of the New Leaf, downtown New Leaf, at 2 o'clock. And I'm already down here handing out flyers. And we've got some people down around who are also supporters who will be here at 2. And we want people to come down 2 o'clock in front of the New Leaf, bring signs, make signs. We want to end the sleeping ban and, make it legal to sleep in Santa Cruz if you're homeless. Right now it's illegal. I'm sure most of your listeners know to sleep in your car, to sleep in homeless in Santa Cruz, and so we want to make that legal, the act of sleep legal, and we'll be protesting. That's what it's going to take, is a lot of people getting out in the streets and demanding change. So people should come down, people should make signs if they can, and Food Not Bombs said they were going to try to come down. We don't know for sure if they're going to be here. So people should come on down.
Hey, well, I will pass on the word, and I do appreciate this this breaking news. At least two individuals with Trollbuster t-shirts, apparently caught in the act of breaking into a homeless woman's car, were turned over to First Alarm Security. I don't know about the beating part of it being such a hot idea, but, you know, it's understandable, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, anything like that can be, I mean, part of self-defense. And these are individuals who've been involved in hurting people. And actually, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't told that they had been beaten. I was just told they fell down.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay.
Well, then at 2 o'clock, perhaps, we'll see you down at New Leaf Market to end the sleeping ban.
Okay.
Thank
cool.
you.
Cool. All right, bye.
And that was a report from Strongheart Steve Argue about apparently two individuals with Trollbuster t-shirts caught trying to break into the car of a homeless woman who were confronted by four homeless people, and sounds like it might have been a beating scene going on, a fight going on there, and then were turned over to First Alarm Security. I don't know. I mean, again, this is one story. If you know anything about this, do give a call. Or if you yourself have been victimized either by the police, by Trollbusters, or, hey, by other people, whether with or without houses, give me a call at 427-3772. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Also, of course, our general topic is civil rights for the poor. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We have another hour and 15 minutes to go until 1:30 when our show concludes. And we want to hear from you.
been nine attacks. There's been nine attacks in less than 3 weeks, and she's been attacked twice in a week.
And can you tell me who the other people were who were attacked?
I can't give that because I don't have the permission for their names.
Okay. If you can get it, because we need to get this information to the city council.
We'll talk to them later.
Okay, we'll wait for you. Even without names, we're talking to Doc out here at the Homeless Community Resource Center. It's about 2:05 on February 5th.
Trying to find a place to sleep.
Doc is looking for a place to sleep, as I imagine a lot of other people, since it's illegal to sleep and you're facing a $160 ticket or at least a midnight wake-up. But you also have been aware, Doc, and making us aware that there have been, you say, nine instances in the last couple of weeks of people beaten by what are called troll busters?
Yep, that's true.
And can you tell us, if you don't want to give names, that's okay, although I know Larry has come forward and publicly spoken about his name, and we know that
he was one of them. Yes.
And then I talked to a man who won't reveal his name, but he was hit by a 2x4 behind the ear last week. That was another individual. I know
that was one that I spoke of the other time.
And then we heard about three individuals night before last, I believe, including, I guess, I don't know, I think her name actually has already been mentioned. Marlboro and Cat were mentioned before.
Yeah.
And then there was a third person with them who got beaten again. Are you aware of that situation?
Yeah, they were over here on the pier. Or not on the pier, but over here at the docks.
And what are the docks? Can you explain that to us?
Well, it's a place where it's a private organization that has awning, and it's stretched over about 8 feet, and they actually let people sleep there as long as there's no messes, which there's never no mess or anything. They've been doing this for a couple years now. And they were attacked.
How many evenings before had they actually slept there?
Well, there's a lot of people that sleep there. I used to sleep there, but I can't do it no more. I just got me a job, so I can't afford to lose it.
So they've been sleeping there fairly regularly?
Well, people have been sleeping there regularly for the last 5-6 years
and
without no problems, and then all of a sudden, boom, we have this problem again.
Now, have you gotten direct reports on who these assailants might be? I heard something about a yellow truck and three youths.
It's three guys driving a yellow Toyota truck. That's all I know.
And the report is from some of the victims?
Yeah, it's all from the victims.
Now, you say that Cat got attacked again a second time, and how did that happen?
I don't know how it happened. They just drove up and started stomping on people that were covered up in blankets.
I'm sorry, when did this happen? When was the second time?
The other night.
So when was the first time it happened? I'm trying to get an understanding.
About a week ago.
In the same place?
In the same place, same spot.
And was she also with other people?
Yeah, she was there with other people.
So, have people abandoned this area because of these attacks?
No, people are getting a little upset, and we're going to start dealing things with our way if the police don't do it, but don't count me credible for that.
Have the police actually taken reports on this issue?
There's been reports, and we had a gentleman that was beat so bad that he was hospitalized
Larry.
For a while, and he might lose his right eye and everything else. And he's made reports, but nothing's been done because these people are running around. It's kind of funny, if there's a report that even a homeless person does a crime, they're down here hunting the place down. They go down and hunt you out at night. They put on little infrared glasses and walk around through the woods just to wake you up. Now, that's a little ridiculous, but it does happen. I know because I was a victim of it a couple of times. And I got lucky of not getting tickets, but I've had a few.
You've actually seen officers with infrared glasses in the woods?
Yeah, that's how they find you at night.
And you see them because you saw them actually doing this, or you've heard about it?
They walk right up into your house. I mean, you'd be sleeping, and the only way to get through there is either with a flashlight or with infrared, and they use infrared goggles. They say they don't have them, but they do have them. The Rangers have them. They use the same equipment at night as they do during the day. I mean, you can't even sit down on a riverbank and open up a bag of bread and some cheese and fold up a sandwich without getting a ticket around here. It's getting ridiculous.
So you would say that the so-called investigation or examination of the camping ordinance is not provided. Some say it's provided a hiatus for sleeping tickets.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is. It's ridiculous.
So, gosh, what can we tell? Let's maybe we could talk to Tony a bit about this. We've got the three cases, and of course, Cat was hit twice. That's four. Larry is five. The other individual mentioned is six. Can you tell us without the names who the other three were in terms of what happened?
Well, you have Marlboro, and he's his name. So they just people. There's one guy that was down in front of Taco Bell that was attacked in front of Taco Bell. Nobody did nothing about it or seen anything.
Yeah, remember approximately when this was?
That was a couple weeks ago.
And
I told you about that.
And
remember when I first telling you about the attacks?
I'm trying to put it in a kind of chronology.
There.
And did he file a complaint with the police, or what happened with that?
Yeah, he's the one that had all the stitches in his face.
So that was not Larry. That was another person.
No, that's a different person.
And
then there was another person that got stomped really bad right down here by the river. I mean, he had like 20, 30 stitches in his face.
So we're not talking Larry either?
No, this is someone else.
Okay.
And it's getting, it was a police report because he wound up in the hospital and everything. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they're not doing nothing about it.
Yeah, it happens.
Do you think these people would be willing to come to city council and speak about this issue at city council meeting on Tuesday night if they thought there was a chance of some change on the issue, or even if there wasn't?
They're afraid of the society and the police if they show their faces, because a lot the people that were attacked was that a couple of the people that were attacked personally were at the rallies, and I think they're starting to pick people out at the rallies getting faces and names. A lot of places got raided the night after they said the camping ban was going to be lifted. Well, a lot of places got destroyed. Remember, my place got ripped up by Rangers, shredded.
That was the night after the camping ban was supposedly, they were going to ticket only on warning or after complaint?
Yeah.
And where was your place?
Mine was up in the Popinet.
Yeah.
But I ain't gonna say where.
Right, but it was your. What happened to your property up there?
Got destroyed, shredded, ripped up, and I didn't even have a tent up. It was just where if I, because I work at night.
What kind of work do you do?
I fish. And that's about as far as I'm gonna go with that.
Right, sure. So, but your property was destroyed. You say a day or two after the city council's December 8th council session.
It was that same day. Because it had to happen during the day because I wasn't there during the day.
So it happened before the council made its resolution?
No, it was after. It was the same freaking day after the revolution. As soon as the papers hit, I walked up about 3-4 hours. It was about 10, 11 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't even 12 o'clock. I walked up there and everything I owned, it wasn't taken. Now, this is why I think it was the Rangers or a cop.
Uh-huh.
Because nothing was taken. I had a $125 fishing pole that was snapped in three places. My fishing equipment didn't come up missing. Mm-hmm. Nothing came up missing. Everything was broke and shredded. Now, tell me, one or two things, if a Mexican would have ran up, or hype, who we call people that are using drugs on the tracks, you know, up there, they would have taken the things that were worth money, and I had a lot of money tied up in my fishing equipment. I mean, I got I've got a couple fishing poles now that I have to get to.
If it were someone other than the police, it would have been someone who took the stuff rather than simply destroy it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
It's true.
Well, what I'm going to do, and I appreciate the information, Doc, anything you want to add for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
No, I'll give you a call. You know who I talk to and stuff, but we'll just leave that ourselves.
Thanks. Okay, last Wednesday, according to a report, a camp of 15 people about half a mile up Highway 9, not if that's accurate or so, but anyway, up Highway 9 a bit, was visited by park rangers. How do you know it was park rangers? It was just 2 days ago, Wednesday afternoon, and how many park rangers came? Two ranger police and one truck, and was anyone in the camp? We got Raul, Smokey, and the man who's speaking, who's personally... JJ. Rangers came down, tore down all your tents, put them in plastic bags, and set them up by the curb. They took the property, put it on the side of the road at your camp along 9, and then was this before or after the Harvey West incident happened? Afterward, a similar group of you, or was it a smaller group? Or the same group of 15 moved to Harvey West, and the same thing happened. So would you say the property was seized, or was it just simply kind of collected and placed in a certain place nearby? And what you're hearing is not a bad recording, rather it is the confidentiality protection of the people involved. They don't want their voices on the tape where you hear that I'm recounting the story. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. I'm Bathrop's PR Robert Norris. This is Bathrop's PR's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor. We're following the controversy around the City Council's refusal to take positive action to decriminalize sleeping for homeless people. In Santa Cruz, it's illegal to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night. If you do so, you may get a $162 ticket or you may get the shit kicked out of you. Apparently, if some of the youths that are running around, apparently undeterred by police, get to you, although apparently there was two of them have apparently been caught. Again, if we have the right people, who knows? Again, a person is innocent until proven guilty, and whether vigilante action is always a dangerous thing, and that's why it's particularly dangerous when police don't seem to be doing their jobs on these issues, and the City Council doesn't seem to be doing its job by setting up a safe zone for homeless people to sleep in, as many of us requested years ago. But certainly, when we heard about the first of these assaults a month ago, we rushed to the task force to examine the camping ordinance headed by Mayor Byers, and we asked her to, on the next City Council meeting, to set up an emergency safe zone so women would not be attacked in their vehicles, so women would not be kicked awake at night. One week after another, as the this last person, Doc, has told us, happened to a woman named Kat. But the City Council paid no attention to us. What a pity. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. It's Roxanne.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi. Robert, I want to talk to you about fines briefly.
Sure. Have you been listening to our show?
Yeah, I have.
Great.
I have some comments, too, cool. But before I forget why I called, you know how the senile are. I'll talk about that, and then I had a couple comments.
Sure.
there's a lot of talk right now about lowering fines.
Uh-huh.
And
fines for a sleeping ban, you mean?
For
offenses.
A sleeping ban.
Uh-huh.
And, well, maybe they'll even lower them for enough.
When all the singers would come to town.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm actually not sure if they're talking about just for sleeping or if they're talking about all the nonsensical...
No, just the sleeping, I'm afraid.
Okay. Anyway, the thing that really concerns me is the other day I heard some talk that they were thinking of lowering the fine from 162 to 52, is that correct?
54.
Mm-hmm. And what shows me how out of touch people are who are making these suggestions is the fact that I've been very, very poor a lot of my life, and it doesn't matter if the ticket is 162 or 52 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the money anyway. And someone said in one of the task force meetings that I was at, someone in the audience, when they were talking about lowering fines to like $10, someone said, well, anybody can panhandle $10. If they have to. So that tells me that it's okay to panhandle, you like to pay your fines, but otherwise it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it puts people in a real predicament still. And I don't think, $52 is a lot. If you had $52, you'd be having a hotel room that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I really think that it's still a moot point. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's the solution that people were looking for. Ostensibly, they're also looking at you being able to do community service
mm-hmm.
when you get fined, but a lot of people can't, either just for reasons of being mentally maybe not able to or whatever. It's still going to go to warrants. People are still going to be hiding.
Mm-hmm.
There's still going to be a big fear factor. It's really not enough.
No, I mean, it's not merely not enough. It simply doesn't address the problem at all. I mean, it doesn't go to the core of the problem. What it really goes to the core of is making some face-saving gesture that will not antagonize the merchants and persuade the more timid of your supporters that you're doing something. And I think that's what Mayor Byers, Christopher Crone, and Keith Sugar are doing here.
Well, I'm not sure what they're doing. I have not been able to figure that out since day one, so I won't even guess. The comment that I had, I've been listening to your program probably about a half an hour,
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of times when people give reports of things that happen, they also make assumptions.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes it so hard to get a factual kind of report, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the gentleman that just spoke that said the police had to have done it, but really it turns out no one saw and no one really does know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so difficult. I think that it's really... I'm really sad that there aren't more meetings or meeting places where people can talk with people who are houseless, who are living outdoors, so that they don't get... They get caught in a self-perpetuating trap, I think, of where people go, they don't know what they're talking about. They were drunk. They were this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many conjectured things come out of, you know, because of fear, because the real people who are hurt are hiding, you know? It's so hard. I don't know if there's a solution. I just was listening to all the reports, and it was like they're second-guessing what happened, too.
Oh, yeah. It's true. I mean, how do you know who came and broke your fishing pole and who slashed your tents? I mean, you can suspect that it was, maybe it was somebody doing a personal vendetta, or maybe it was, a bunch of activists like myself trying to discredit the police. Could be, you know.
You just don't know. It's
but
so hard.
Not likely, you know.
I pretty much like Steve Argue's report,
mm-hmm.
That the... Excuse me, I'm on the sick list.
Sure.
The youth that were involved in the Zanatos thing were cops' kids. I think that would be pretty funny because, you know, I have no idea where they would learn that kind of behavior.
Hmm.
It would probably be quite a shock to their parents. I think speak only love is the motto in most of the cops' homes.
Oh, I know that, yeah. So those police are trying to kill us with kindness.
So I think this will be quite a shock. No one will really be able to believe it unless it's proven for a fact.
Yeah, well, I have no idea. This is the first report I've heard about, and I'm going to try to talk directly to some of the people involved, and I still don't know who they are, so I'm going to keep my ears open, and I'm hoping that some of those folks, everybody listening, yourself included, if you're well enough, can come to the city council meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, because I don't think the council's going to do much, but I think that it's an opportunity for us to do something. And I also encourage people to come to the rally today at 2 in front of the New Leaf Market, where...
Now you know it's pouring.
Oh, is it pouring?
It's pouring.
Oh, well then, I guess so much for that one.
I mean, I don't know how long it'll pour, but what time is it?
It's about 12:30.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if it's sunny, come on down at 2. Otherwise, we'll have to make it another time. But, hey.
So, Robert, let me just ask you something about the city council meeting.
Sure.
Because maybe I'm not the only one that's dense about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, is some big, momentous decision supposed to be made, or...
Well, actually, the only item on the evening agenda, after oral communications, public comment, is the camping ban revisions. And there are, I think, 5 or 6 of them that are being proposed by the City Council's task force to examine the camping ordinance, or the task force, as they call themselves. And those revisions include, currently the hours where it's criminal to sleep or cover up with blankets is from 11 to 8:30 in the morning. They are proposing reducing that from, I believe it's 2 to 6. I got to actually pull out the document, and I will do that. What I'll do off-air, Roxanne, is I will get the specific changes and read them aloud so people are going to know exactly what's being proposed.
Okay, well, I thought if I'm a little bit dense on this, maybe other people are too.
No, you're not dense at all.
No, you know what I'm saying? If I don't really understand what they're really going to be doing Tuesday night, if people understood, they might be more likely to come.
Right, well, the big issue is, of course, not what they're going to do, but what they're not going to do. And the idea is to have a lot of us together who do want to do something, and who knows, some of us may decide to sleep in at city council or sleep right outside in an encampment that is safe because there are enough of us around to stop troll busters and under the eaves of city hall so you won't get soaked. I mean, we'll have to decide then and there what we want to do if city council takes no action to guarantee the safety and the health of its homeless population. And we may end up doing nothing, or we may end up, you know, postponing it till another time. But I think it's good to have, as you say, that meeting where we can all meet with some security. I'm sure the police will be providing their own security, but there'll be enough of us there, so I think that there'll be real security.
Why is this the night that they're going to make decisions?
Oh, it's...
I mean, they only just really got on the job and began to really start understanding the issues that we wanted recently, even just to understand them, not even to give them to us. Why is it a decision-making time?
Well, I think it has to do with the agenda of our mayor, Catherine Byers. I think her determination was that she wanted... She had promised that in February, and the second Tuesday in February is what's coming up on Tuesday night, there would be a, you know, report by the camping ban task force.
But and did she also promise a decision at that time?
Well, you know, I mean, this is all her agenda. It's not clear what she's doing. I mean, I have my own interpretation, which is she wants the issue out of the way. She wants to be able to say, look, I did something, goodbye, what's the next issue?
Mm-hmm.
And this will also take the three council members, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, off the hook, because they made real promises to deal with the right of homeless people to sleep somewhere, will now be able to say, well, one, something has been done. We're making some baby steps. We're setting up a task force, another one. That's another part of this provision, to set up a task force to look at the homeless issues. And I guess Chris Crone is going to set up a bathroom task force, which to me is pretty ludicrous. I mean, you want to set up bathrooms, not a task force. I mean, thank you very much. But apparently he's into the task force. He wants to get community consensus before he puts down a bathroom. I mean, I guess does he have to get community consensus before he puts on his shoes in the morning? I'm not sure.
Well, you have to make sure everyone goes. You have to make sure that everyone needs a bathroom.
Well, maybe colostomy bags are the answer here. You know, I mean, I think, you know, after all, bathrooms are expensive, and as Mike Rodkin has pointed out, they can get vandalized, you know, and so we want, joggers should definitely have bathrooms. Whether homeless people should have them, I think we probably need less homeless people, and therefore less bathrooms. Well, cutting all the one-line jokes, yeah, they're talking about a task force, making the hours of criminality of homeless sleeping less, but still there. And there is one strange change, which is to cut the word without bedding from the camping ordinance and the sleeping sections, which means that it will theoretically be legal for people to sleep if they don't have bedding at all. So if you don't have anything to lie on, and you don't have anything to cover you up, and you don't have, you know, lots of heavy, thick clothing on that could be construed as bedding.
Oh, Robert, you're kidding.
I am not kidding. I am telling you the truth.
Oh, who came up with that?
David Silva. Actually, David Silva proposed a number of things, not because he would have thought they would be good ideas, but because Catherine Byers was going to do nothing. And he said, don't do nothing, do something. And he proposed a lot of these ideas are his. And he'll be calling later in the show and telling us that this is all completely inadequate, and it's just he just wanted to bring up something that you know it's I think it's the politician in him.
Well, there's the old adage: be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I mean, remember, it's well, I think we should come there to show just how preposterous it is. And another thing I got to tell you is that SCAN, which for 3 years running, that's the Santa Cruz Action Network.
Yeah, what happened with that? I thought they were going to...
Bernice Belton came to the task force meetings and expressed some concerns about the direction the task force was moving in, which of course is nowhere. And then she and Skip Spitzer apparently wrote a letter. And the letter is a complete justification of every single thing Catherine Byers does on that list. That is to say, lowering the fines, lessening the hours, making it community serviceable, and finding a way to waive the community service fees. And then there's an additional provision which says, if there is a winter shelter armory emergency, then camping tickets can be dismissed or should be dismissed by the city attorney, which sounds, you know, like maybe it's an improvement. But the problem is they will still be given, and this will only be a defense you'll be able to use in court, so the cops will still come, still wake you up, still give you a ticket, still confiscate your property, still direct you to move on, still harass you in the middle of the night, still put out a warrant for your arrest. But later on, you can come to court and you can say, hey, the shelters were full that night, therefore I'm not guilty. So that's the other great reform that they are proposing, as well as setting up a task force to look into bathrooms and to look into homelessness generally. Now, SCAN wrote a letter saying, we applaud all these steps, even though they're just baby steps, and we also would like to see you make tickets an administrative process like parking tickets. And we would also like you to pay lots of close attention to Paul Brindell and the Shelter Project. Now, Paul Brendel has some very good suggestions for the task force, the most basic of which is what they're now doing in Florida, which is they will not give a homeless person a sleeping ticket or a ticket for any other of the so-called life-sustaining behaviors like lighting a fire in a park or being after hours in a park unless they can offer that person a shelter bed or a space on a shelter floor. That's now part of the Pottinger guidelines that the police department in Miami uses. That's what Paul Brendel, the shelter project, proposed.
Did they listen to him at all?
Oh, you know.
No,
let's put it this
really.
Way. They were in the same room with him, shuffling papers as he spoke. But more important, he spoke to SCAN, the group that had these people elected, mind you. And SCAN said, oh yes, oh yes. And apparently Nora Hockman wrote what was supposed to be a better letter. And then this letter came through that was just an utter sellout. It was an articulation of every single point Catherine Byers said, praising her.